Well, good morning. I think the table is hidden behind one of these trees right here, and our stage crew is looking for it. So, Delaine, if you find it, bring it on out. I want to welcome those who are watching online, and it's a great crowd today. Let me just say a word about the report that you heard from the Pastor Search Committee. I've never met Sean or Bonnie, but I've spoken to him over the phone. What a wonderful, wonderful man. Unanimous recommendation from the committee, and I'm excited for our church. Thank you. Give Delaine a hand. Way to go, Delaine. Yeah. Excited for next Sunday for us, and looking forward to the years ahead. As you know, many of you already understand, Rochelle and I will be expanding our ministry beyond the state, really going more nationwide, but we'll be based in Enid, and this is our church. So I'm excited for us in Sean and Bonnie coming in, and look forward to next Sunday. By the way, I do have a speaking engagement next week, so it worked out just great, but I'll be watching and know that it'll be a great Sunday for our church. Before we begin this morning, I've got a special recognition. On the search committee 30 years ago, there was a gentleman here this morning named Gene Cummings, and Gene and his wife, Cherry, celebrated last Wednesday 70 years of marriage. There you are, Gene. God bless you. There's Cherry. Cherry had a stroke a few years ago, but good to see you today. Very dear friends, you may not know this. 0.01% of all marriages in the world make it to 70 years. That's a high honor, so congratulations. If you have a Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 9. This morning, I want to make the message as clear as possible. I want the major theme to be simplified in your mind. My goal is when we get done this morning, when you think about Christmas, put on your dancing shoes and you celebrate. Every morning when you get up, you have a nativity song in your heart, because this message will change the perspective you have about Christmas. Jesus came to save us, to deliver us, to change our lives. Unfortunately, many well-intentioned Christians read Daniel chapter 9, and they seem more interested in the coming of Jesus to judge the world than in proclaiming Christ has come to save the world. What I mean by that is, if your focus is more upon future judgment on the wicked, judgment that comes from God toward those who reject him, than it is the good news of deliverance to the wicked through what Jesus has done for sinners like us, then you've lost your biblical perspective. Jesus said, I have come into the world to save the world, not to judge it. Unfortunately, when we come to Daniel chapter 9, many modern Christians see it as a prophecy of God's judgment on the world. What I want to do this morning is show you, I hope convincingly, that it's a prophecy of the first coming of Jesus to Bethlehem to save the world. For you see, Daniel proclaimed the Messiah's coming to establish his eternal kingdom. And all the visions that Daniel was given by the Lord related to the Prince of Peace entering into our temporal world to establish his eternal kingdom. So, in the visions that we've been studying and will continue to study, the visions that Daniel had given to him by the creator of the world, he saw kingdoms of this world rising and falling. But he also saw very clearly the coming of the King of Kings. So clearly that he knew precisely when Yeshua, the Son of God, our Savior, the Prince of Peace, the King of all kings, would be born. He told us in Daniel 9, he gives us, through the vision God gave him, the year Jesus would enter this world. Incredible. That's what I want to show you this morning. Now, as we saw last week in the first half of Daniel 9, Daniel had these visions of kingdoms rising and falling, leaders of the world coming and going. And the Jews, the Hebrews, God's people, Daniel's people, are not mentioned. And Daniel confesses to the Lord, "We have acted wickedly toward you. We have rebelled against your commands." And I tried to show you last week that when God called the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai, he entered into an agreement with them. It is often called the Mosaic Agreement or the Hebraic Agreement. It was a conditional covenant with one nation, the nation of Israel, and the agreement went like this. "As a nation, the Lord says, if you obey me, I will bless your socks off." That's my translation. "I will bless you. But if you rebel against my commandments, I will bring in foreign nations to conquer you and drive you away from your land with the sword, destroying everything precious to you." You say, "Whoa, why would God ever enter an agreement like that?" Well, he was setting up the nation of Israel to show the entire world that we, in our own merits and right, can never be who God created us to be. We all fall on our face in failure, like the nation of Israel fell on their face. But I'm just here to tell you, if you're a member of the nation of Israel like Daniel was, you're going to be really concerned about what happens to your nation. Now, the overwhelming message he received was that the Messiah would be born to save the world. And he is so clear on this message that he recounts it in the visions that he writes down in the scroll you call the book of Daniel. And then he founded a school of the Magi, and he taught the magicians in Babylon about the coming of the king. Therefore, when Jesus was born, wise men, magi from the east, came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Why did they ask that question? Because they knew Daniel. They knew Daniel 9. They knew when the king was coming. And they had seen a star, and they knew that Daniel said, "The King of Kings is going to be born at this time." And so they came asking about him. Now, that's all great and good news, but Daniel is concerned so much about his nation that he asks the Lord just one question in Daniel 9. And we first addressed it last week, but we're going to give an answer today. Here is the question. "What about your people, O Lord?" What about us? What about the Hebrews? What about the nation of Israel? What about your people? Will you continue in covenant with us? In the response that the Lord gives to Daniel in answer to this question, for the first time in the Hebrew scriptures, Yahweh does not call the nation of Israel my people. He says, "Your people, Daniel. I'm going to tell you what will happen to your people." Why? Why does he say your people? Because Israel broke covenant. And because they broke covenant, God divorced the nation of Israel. But he gave to Daniel an incredible vision, saying, Daniel, don't be disturbed, because I've got a better plan. I'm going to come myself into the world and establish a new agreement, a new covenant with the entire world, including your people, but it will involve all the nations of the world. So, in other words, the end times in Daniel 9 are not the end times of the world. It's the end times of God's agreement with the nation of Israel and the inauguration of a new covenant with the entire world. In other words, the end of the covenant that Yahweh made with the nation of Israel ends at the same time Yeshua comes into the world to establish a new covenant. And this is the teaching of Daniel 9. So, Jesus, when he came, born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, he came to inaugurate a new agreement with the entire world. This is why you put your dancing shoes on. This is why you celebrate Christmas. By the way, our world needs this good news. Down in Houston, it was so sad. I watched some of the videos of the 8 people who died in a mosh pit at a rap performance at the Astrodome. So, so sad. The singer is on the stage, and I was hearing him sing in the background as you were watching people dying. And it was the F word throughout, mocking everything about the Lord. And people are dying on the floor. Oh, those people need good news. They're just like us, sinners in need of good news and a relationship with our Creator, a purpose for life. Some of you read what I write. And this past week, I wrote about the metaverse. Facebook changed its name from Facebook to Meta. What is the metaverse? The metaverse is Facebook's attempt, Mark Zuckerberg's attempt, to sell Oculus glasses, the next generation that you put on your face, and you enter in to an imaginary world that looks real, feels real. It touches all of your senses, including your ears, your eyes, everything. And you create your own universe. And you can be in that imaginary metaverse what you're not in the real universe. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Isn't it just like the devil to try to give good news to people who are dying by giving them a synthetic drug to escape rather than the Lord giving us really good news that he came into the world to deliver us from our sins? That's the good news this world needs. You say, now, wait a minute, Wade, just a second. I've read a little bit about Daniel 9. And what I've heard people teach about, it's all about the rapture, the tribulation, the Antichrist, the rebuilding of Jerusalem's temple, and then the Antichrist stops sacrifices, and then there's the battle of Armageddon, and then Jesus will return. And they say it's based on Daniel 9. No, I know, and please understand, I'm not going to denigrate or minimize them. I love these well-intentioned Christians. I think they're misled. What I'm about to teach you was taught by Christendom for 1900 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What I'm teaching you is orthodox. For the last 120 years, the popular opinion of Daniel 9 is that it is about something in the future, the end of the world, and it's not about the glorious news of Jesus coming to save the world. I want to try to convince you Daniel 9 is about the glorious coming of Jesus to save the world so that you can truly celebrate Christmas. Now, could there be other fulfillments? Could there be a shadow of how Jesus will unite the timeless kingdom that he reigns over now with our temporal world when heaven unites with earth and eternity is ushered in and the meek inherit the earth? Could there be a shadow of that in Daniel 9? Well, of course. Gloria in the 7:30 service was asking me that same question. I said, sure, but let me give you an illustration. Let's say that you're looking at a mountain range, and there is this massive mountain in front of you. There are other mountains behind that massive first mountain that dominates your vision. Yes, but the biggest mountain is the one that captivates you, right? Christians want to avoid the biggest mountain of Daniel 9, the coming of Jesus to save the world, to try to get on top and look at mountains behind the range. I want you to be captivated by the primary fulfillment of what Daniel writes in Daniel 9. Now, let me show you why I believe Daniel 9 is about the good news of Jesus coming at what we call Christmas. Gabriel is the one that delivers the message to Daniel. Gabriel, the messenger from God. He delivers the good news. Because remember, it's an answer to the question, what about your people, Yahweh? Gabriel comes and gives the message of Yahweh in response to that question. And he says, Daniel, listen, I've got good news for the world. Yes, the covenant with your people is coming to an end, but God's going to do something better. Yahweh's going to do something better for all the nations of the world, including your nation. By the way, when Jesus was born, it was Gabriel who delivered the message to Joseph and Mary. Gabriel came to say, Yeshua is coming, and you will call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. By the way, Yeshua is the Greek for the Hebrew Joshua. Joshua means he shall save. Just like Joshua saved the nation of Israel in his day, Yeshua saves the world in his day. Daniel, when Gabriel came to give him the good news that Yeshua would split time and come into our world, he said to Daniel, you are highly favored. You're about to hear what God is going to do for the world. When Gabriel came to Mary, he used the same phrase, Mary, you are highly favored. Don't you see the parallelism here? Now, I want to read for you the vision, the response that Daniel gets to his question, what about your people, O Lord? Daniel 9, just three verses, 24 through 27. Really, four verses, 24 through 27. Let's read. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. In response to the question, what about your people? Verse 24, Gabriel giving the message to Daniel. 70 weeks. That's 70 sevens in Hebrew. You multiply 70 times 7, a week in our English language is 7 days. But this is 70 sevens in Hebrew. It's 490 years. 490 years have been decreed for your people. Notice, your people and your holy city. Notice, your city, not mine. You've got 490 years, Daniel, you and your people, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. A stunning verse. Remember, the Lord will enter into a new agreement with the world at the same time he officially ends the old agreement with the nation of Israel. But Daniel, don't worry. Your nation, your city, your temple has 490 years until that happens, when the Messiah will come and make an end of sin, make atonement for iniquity. Oh my goodness. This is Jesus, verse 25. So that you can know and discern when that will happen, from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah comes, until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks, that's 7 times 7, 49 years, and 62 weeks, 62 times 7, 434 years. There's a breaking down of this time period into two sections, 7 sevens and 62 sevens. You put those together, it's 483 years. Okay, 70 times 7 is 490, right? So what about these last 7 years? 483 to 490. This is the theme of what follows next. This is the 70th week of Daniel. Modern Christians will tell you what comes next is about the Antichrist. I'm telling you what comes next is about Jesus. Verse 26. After the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come after that will destroy Jerusalem and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, desolations of the city, and the sanctuary are determined. By the way, we're going to see this in Daniel chapter 11. 40 years after Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for you. 40 years after that, in AD 70, the Romans came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the temple. Why 40 years? Anytime God begins to make a change in how he deals with the world, 40 is the number of transition. 40 years in the wilderness for Israel, 40 days and nights of rain when he flooded the earth, 40 days for Jesus in the wilderness. 40 is the biblical number for transition. And by the way, when Jesus came to save the world, have you ever asked yourself the question, why did Jesus tell his disciples to go to the Jews first? Why did he say, go and take the good news to Jerusalem, then Judea, then the uttermost parts of the earth? Why Jerusalem and Judea first? Because within a generation, the entire nation of Israel would be scattered. And in compassion for the Hebrew people, the message of the good news that Yahweh has entered into a new agreement needs to go to Israel first. Let's go on. The Messiah will be cut off. Verse 27. And he, who is he? I'm telling you, it is the Messiah. He will make a firm covenant, you call it the new covenant, with the many for 1 week, that is 7 years. But in the middle of that week, he will put a stop to sacrifice. Who does? The Messiah. And he will put a stop to grain offering. And after that, on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, the Romans, who come to destroy Jerusalem and the temple, even unto a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. All right, let's look at this. I want to make it simple. 77s have been decreed for the Lord's people. And in response to the question, what about your people? The Lord, through Gabriel, says, Daniel, your people have 490 years before the agreement is made between me and the world. 70 times 7, 490 years. Now, these 490 years are broken down into two, really three sections in your text. The first section begins when a decree is made to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Or I'll put it another way. The total 490 years, if you want to count them down, you start, according to Gabriel, Daniel 9, verse 25, when the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem is issued. Start the countdown, Daniel. Start it. And it will be 490 years from that date. In your notes, I have given you four possible historical decrees that could begin the countdown. I believe that there is one of those four that matches perfectly the timing of what I'm about to show you. Let me explain to you this one decree, okay? It was made by a gentleman named Artaxerxes I Longomanus. He was called Longomanus. He was a real king of Persia. He was a friend of Ezra. He was the son of Xerxes, the stepson of Esther. And in Ezra chapter 7, you can read it. Don't take my word for it. Beginning in verse 11 through 28, Ezra comes to Longomanus and says, "We're in trouble. Cyrus let us go back to Jerusalem, but we don't have enough money. We don't have enough supplies. We don't have enough workers to restore and repair Jerusalem. So Longimanus, and he's called Longimanus because his left hand was longer than his right hand. He said to Ezra, and again, you can read it in Ezra 7, beginning in verse 11. Take everything you need. Take all the money you need. Take all the men you need. Take everything. I'll give it to you. Go back and restore Jerusalem. Get the city operating for your God the way it was before Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked Babylonian king, destroyed it in 586, and I'll help you. That's the decree to go and restore Jerusalem. The countdown begins. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. 490 years. Now we know that the year was 458 BC. It was the seventh year of Artaxerxes, Longimanus. That's when the 490-year countdown began. So, let's just start counting. In Daniel 9, what we just read, that 490 years is broken down into three segments. Here's the first one. For the first 49 years, God's people, the Hebrews, Daniel's people, will labor to restore Jerusalem. For 49 years. It's the seven sevens that you read here in Daniel 9. And folks, that's exactly what they did. You can read about it in Ezra and Nehemiah. They rebuild the walls of the city. And you know how they do it? They rebuild the walls. They have a sword in one hand and they have a trowel in the other hand. Why? Because they've got to fight enemies off with one hand and they've got to rebuild the walls and the temple and restore the city with the other hand. And eventually they succeed and they rededicate the rebuilt temple. By the way, one of my heroes in ministry is Charles Spurgeon, and he sent out a magazine every week called The Sword and the Trowel. And basically it was an encouragement for Christians. Charles was a pastor in England in the 1800s. It was an encouragement to Christians to understand you are always called in your life to do two things. You are always called to fight the enemy off in your life. Whether it's fear, anxiety, immorality, the devil himself, meta, fight it off. And in the other hand, you build up society, your home, your city, your state, your nation with the truth of God's word, the sword and the trowel. That first period, 49 years, ends in the rededication of the temple. The city's reestablished. The judges are now judging the people. Everything's operating like it was before. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Now we come to the second section mentioned in Daniel 9. 62 weeks, 62 times 7. That is 434 years. Now that begins in 409 BC. Now, if you count down 434 years from 409 BC, and by the way, when you get to 1 BC, you've got to skip 0 and go to 1 AD, you will come to a very important event. But before we get there, I've got to ask you this question. During the second section in Daniel 9, this second section of the time period of 490 years, the 62 sevens, the 434 years, what happens? What happens in the world? Well, in 2 weeks, I'll begin showing you. It's Daniel 11, Daniel 12. God tells Daniel what will happen. It's the time of Antony and Cleopatra, the rise of Rome, and so on. You don't read about it in the Bible because it's the time period, what we call between the Testaments. When your Old Testament closes 400 years before the birth of Yeshua, of Jesus, nothing is said in your Bible regarding this intertestamental time period. Now, the Roman Catholics have a few books in their Catholic Bible, like 1 Maccabees and 2 Maccabees, and it'll tell you about events during these 434 years, this second time period of 62 sevens. But count them down. From 409, which is the end of the first time period, start counting, 434 years, start counting down, you arrive at AD 26. That is exactly 483 years or 69 weeks from Artaxerxes' decree to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. 69 weeks. Okay, now wait a minute. 70 sevens are decreed, not 69 sevens, 70. So where's the other 7 years? Are you following me? It's the last section in Daniel 9. Here's what modern televangelists will tell you. The clock stopped at the 69th week. And that last 7 weeks will happen. It's a mountain you got to look for down the road. It will happen beginning with the rapture. And then the Antichrist will rise. Then the temple will be rebuilt. He'll make peace for 7 years. Mid-year, he'll stop the sacrifices in the temple. And then the Battle of Armageddon will come. And then Jesus will return. That's the 70th week of Daniel. They base it upon Daniel 9. I'm telling you, the clock didn't stop. It kept going for the final 70th week. So you've got to answer this question. What happened in AD 26, which began the 70th week of Daniel? Are you ready for this? Jesus was baptized. The heavens opened, and the voice of the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah were there and disappeared. And the disciples fell on their faces in fear when the heavens opened. And Yahweh said, "This is my beloved Son, akuite auton, hear him." You see, listen to me now. The nation of Israel was established in a covenant with God to show the world our failure to be able to please God. But Yeshua, the Son of God, is the righteousness of God revealed to the world. And everything about Yeshua parallels the nation of Israel. Born, Feast of Tabernacles, died on the national festival of Passover, in the tomb, sweeping away our sins during the national festival of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, rose on the day that the nation of Israel waved their first fruits before Yahweh, asking for blessing of the harvest. He sent his Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost, and he will blow the trumpet of judgment if you refuse to trust him. Jesus' baptism begins the 70th week of Daniel. And the last 7 years of prophecy in Daniel 9 begin with his baptism. And as Jackson plays, I close with the 7 things that the Messiah did for you when he came at Christmas. He will make a firm covenant. Remember, before he died, he said to his disciples, "Take the bread, take the wine. This is the new agreement. This is my body. This is my blood. As often as you eat, remember me," a new agreement of the Lord with you. In the middle of this 7-year time period, the Messiah was cut off. 3.5 years after his baptism, in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, he died at Calvary. Why? He was bearing our sins, making an end of sin, making atonement. You know what the word atonement means? It's an at-one moment with the Lord. You trust the Lord Jesus, you're at one with your Creator. The nation of Israel failed, and they always had this sense of being separated from God. But when you come to Yeshua, you are at one with the Lord. After he died for us on the cross, the people of the prince came to destroy the city. But it was 40 years after his death, burial, and resurrection, because God always has a period of transition when he makes a change in his dealings with the world. And for 40 years, the gospel went to the nation of Israel. We see that the end will come with the flood. The end of what? The end of the world? No, the end of the old covenant. The end of the nation of Israel. The temple was destroyed. The city was laid desolate. And it came in a flood as the people of the prince. Rome came to destroy the city. But these desolations are determined by the Lord. He gave us the countdown of when it would happen because he was inaugurating a new agreement. In the middle of Daniel's 70th week, the Messiah will put an end to sacrifice. What did Jesus do when he died? The Bible tells us that the curtain in the temple of Yahweh in Jerusalem was ripped from top to bottom. All sacrifices and grain offerings ended. Why? You now have the ability to approach Yahweh on the basis of the work of Yeshua. You say, I get all that, Pastor Wade. But the 70th week is 7 years. When does it come to an end? Well, I'll give you my opinion. The 70th week of Daniel, 70 times 7, 7 years, the 70th week, following those two other segments. At the end of those 7 years of the 70th week, Stephen was stoned. Did you know that stoning in the Old Testament was the official act to show that covenant is broken? It is why adulterous women were stoned. It is why adulterous men were stoned. The covenant was broken. It was as if when Stephen fell on his knees and the stones started coming, he looked to heaven and the King of Kings stood up and said, come, my son, the world now has the good news. You see, the Messiah has arrived. And if you're more interested in going out and telling people of judgment that is coming, than of deliverance in the coming of the King, you've lost a sense of biblical eschatology. Is Daniel 9 about the end of the world? No. It's about the end of an old agreement and coming to faith in a new agreement. And I'll close with this. We're out of time. If you're here and you have messed your life up with abortion, you've been a drug addict. You're addicted to the computer. You're trying to escape your reality. I'm here to tell you there's only one universe. Universe. And the Creator made it. And He knows your predicament. And He gave you His Son to deliver you from your troubles. Don't trust in a substitute. Trust in the Savior of the world. This is the message of Daniel chapter 9. Wise men 2,000 years ago came seeking him. And wise men today still seek him. This is why I sing Christmas carols year round. This is why I dance when I talk about Christmas. It's the coming of Yeshua to save the world. Amen? Well, if you don't understand it yet, come to the next service. If you don't understand it after that, you preach the next service because I did the best I could. Let's stand and we're going to sing. This is our dismissal. If you need Jesus Christ, we'll stick around as long as you need to talk with you. Go to your community groups and come back with an excited heart, an expectant spirit for Bonnie and for Sean next Sunday. Let's sing together and this will be our dismissal.
Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something